This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
Welcome to UK Talk Radio. Great to have your company. It's Jonathan Hines here, and we've got the music you love and the chat you enjoy. Talking all things travel now, and quite a niche travel business. I've got Bob with me. That's Bob Carter, who is from Nature Travels Limited. Welcome to UK Talk Radio, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for popping in, joining us in the studio.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm excited about this because we haven't had any travel features on for a while. Now, you're a tour operator, not a travel agent.
Yes, that's right.
And you're not a run-of-the-mill tour operator, are you? What's your speciality or your niche?
I guess not. Well, we specialise exclusively in outdoor and ecotourism activities and only in the Nordic countries. So predominantly Sweden. We started just with Sweden originally 10 years ago, and now we do a little bit of Norway and Finland as well. So we're niche in terms of our destination and also in terms of the kind of things that we offer as well.
So very Scandinavian.
Yes, absolutely.
And what type of activities might you be doing that are niche?
We do a lot of things in both summer and winter. So summer, for example, a lot of canoeing and kayaking. Much of that is self-guided, but also a lot of guided activities as well. We do a lot of hiking, a lot of log cabins, but always with a sort of active focus. So you can always be hiking or biking or borrowing canoes and that kind of thing. And then in the winter, we do a lot of dog sledding. That's our main activity in winter time. And also hut-to-hut ski touring, natural ice skating, which is quite unusual as well.
Quite a wide variety.
Of things, but always with an outdoor focus.
And where did this Scandinavian passion or connection start, Bob?
Well, we started 10 years ago. My wife is Swedish from the Stockholm archipelago, and so that was the connection, really. We met when I was working in Sweden. But, we were bringing together really everything that we were interested in privately. So we'd always had a passion for sort of the outdoors and ecotourism. Sophia was very into the scouts when she was younger in Sweden, and we'd sort of been involved in various kind of conservation volunteering and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And we were always sort of, we were also sort of bringing together the kind of professional skills that we had. So I'd done a little bit with web design and with travel related to the language industry. And
yes, you've taught English, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, to adults in Sweden. Yes, that's what I was doing before. Yeah. In company training and that kind of thing.
Now, tell us a bit more about ecotourism, Bob.
Okay. Obviously, it's one of those phrases that gets used quite a bit, and it can mean many different things. And I think it's very much something which is not black and white. It's not about 100% one way or the other, but it's about a scale. So like many things in life, you know, you sort of choose a point along the scale at which you're happy. So what it means to us is working with very small scale local providers in the destination countries. So we have about 35 small companies, and sometimes they're very, very small indeed. Often we may be the first company that they've worked with in terms of trying to direct their business outside the destination country, for example. So part of it is about supporting rural enterprise in some ways. So many of the people obviously located in very remote locations, we're sending them people that they would never be able to get by themselves, so they can be excellent guides or providers of the activities that they do, but their expertise is not with marketing or with websites and that kind of thing. So we can have a nice synergy where, you know, they do the things that they're good at and we do the things that we're good at, and hopefully everybody benefits.
Yeah, and so how long has Nature Travels been around now?
We celebrated our 10th birthday in March this year.
Yeah. Oh, 10 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so just over 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, and would you be on the high street or no,
we're a purely online-based company.
Yes.
So we're a very small company. There's four of us now.
Yes.
So myself and my wife, Sophia, plus my colleagues, Jane and Nikki. So we are very international. So although we're based here in Dorset, our customers can equally as well be from Australia as they can from Dorset. And actually, over the years, we're having increasingly more and more customers from outside the UK.
Yeah. And your staff, your guides, people that would work with, out in various places in Sweden or Norway. Where do you get those from?
Well, how do you find those people?
Yeah, that can be different things.
So, as I say, they are often very small.
Yes.
In some cases, they will contact us because they've heard of us and feel that there's a match, because obviously as a small company ourselves, we're able to work with many providers which, for example, larger companies than us simply wouldn't be interested in, you know. They're only maybe able to take four people at a time or something like that, so they simply wouldn't have the capacity. So in some cases, obviously, over the years, we've become quite well known in that kind of field, so people may contact us with a view to a cooperation. We may occasionally go looking for a particular type of activity that we're missing, you know, that we feel there's a little bit of extra capacity for, or something a little bit different. So it can be different ways.
And what are the trends and the favourite things that people are looking at doing at the moment, and what's your personal favourite? You know, what's your niche within this niche?
if we start with winter first, dog sledding is certainly something that we do a great deal of, and also probably my favourite winter activity for a number of reasons. I think it's a fantastic way to travel through the winter landscape and enjoy the winter landscape, and then also there's the whole dimension of working with the dogs, and who are incredible, you know. Everybody drives their own sleds,
kind of like a dream for some people.
So we focus more on the sort of on the longer tours, you know, where you're out to sort of 4 or 8 or 12 days, something like that. And so you really get to know your team, you know, you get to work with them, you get to know the individual personalities. And so the whole business of things that go on around the cabins at night, you know, fetching your water from the lake or making the fire or chopping wood or whatever, you know, that's just as much a part of it as the dog sledding itself. So that's certainly become extremely popular.
Also the accommodation, that wouldn't be hotels as you know it, but it would be what type of accommodation might people have?
It depends a little bit on the tour. The majority of tours will be what we call wilderness cabins, so they'll be very simple cabins. So, you know, heated with wood burning stoves, no electricity, no running water. They'll cut a hole in the ice for you to drag your water up for that kind of thing. So quite an adventure there. We also offer some that involve winter camping, so in the later part of the winter season, in March and April, you can add a bit of an extra level of challenge by camping out as well. So
yes, and so these are all European destinations.
Yes,
that you specialise in.
Just Sweden and Finland and Norway.
And how have things changed? And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about, dare I mention it, it's going to come up, isn't it, Brexit?
Right.
how have things changed, and what is changing at the moment, and also customers' expectations?
Okay. I mean, to do with Brexit, obviously we were wondering what would happen as a result of that. I think we found that in July, just immediately following the referendum, perhaps people were a little bit uncertain, a little bit unwilling to commit to plans. Actually, that went over very, very quickly. And August and September, for example, have been, you know, record months for us. So I wouldn't say, at least at the moment, I think it's hard to say what will happen going forward, but I wouldn't say at the moment we've noticed any particular thing from that. But in
a
terms
lot of people are very positive, aren't they? A lot of people
possibly,
are.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a lot of people who are very positive about what's going to happen. Then you've got other people who are very upset and very sad. There seem to be two extremes,
yes,
don't they, at the moment?
In terms of the expectations and that kind of thing, one thing that's certainly changed a lot in recent years has been the growth of interest in the Northern Lights. Although we don't offer dedicated Northern Lights holidays as such, we do offer a lot of activities in areas which give you great possibilities. So obviously, you know, when you're dog sledding in a remote area, far from light pollution and that kind of thing, you've got very, very good chances. So we would never say that you should base your enjoyment of the holiday on your seeing the Northern Lights, because there may be nothing happening, it may be cloudy, or more likely you may be asleep at 9 o'clock after a hard day on the trail. But certainly adds an added dimension, and that certainly created a great deal of interest in those sort of northern destinations. So
and what about mountaineering? Is that something that you particularly do, or is that not one of your
We don't offer mountain climbing, no. We do offer a number of activities in mountain areas. So
yeah.
The dog sled tours, for example, that run in the later part of the season in March and April, they can run in mountain regions, which is fantastic. They wouldn't run earlier in the winter because then conditions aren't suitable when it's too dark to be up in the mountains. But we also offer ski touring in the mountains and that kind of thing, and then hiking in the summer, but not mountaineering and climbing at the moment, no.
Mm. Well, 10 years, that's great. And it looks like this is something which is a great... It is a growing niche, by the looks of it. People are, if you like, people are looking at alternatives, aren't they, now? People are wanting to do things that are a bit different more now.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've certainly been very, very pleased with the way things have gone over the last 10 years. We had very modest ambitions from the start, and we're still a very small company, and we want to remain so, but we've certainly grown, you know, a fair bit over the last 10 years. So I think people are sort of turning towards that kind of thing, and with the whole focus on ecotourism and that kind of thing, of course we get people travelling with us because of that focus, but equally I think we get people travelling with us for whom maybe that isn't the main criteria, but they like the activities and they like the destination, and they know by choosing that sort of trip it'll be like very small groups, for example, or just generally much lower impact, you know.
Yes.
So even if the actual
no hustle and bustle.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is not the only radio interview you've done recently, is it? There seems to be suddenly you seem to have been thrust into the limelight, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as I say, we've had an increasing number of guests from outside the UK now, and I was enjoying talking to Classic FM South Africa just last week.
Oh right.
Which was quite bizarre.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, I didn't travel there personally for that one, sadly. That was done over the phone. But
and there's an article, people can check you out in The Guardian, can't they? Well, not you personally, but the company.
Yes.
In The Guardian.
Yeah. They've had a recent feature, but I mean we're very lucky that we get featured quite regularly in the press and that kind of thing. So
oh, great.
Again, I think because we have such a niche focus, if the media are looking for a particular kind of thing, you know, they'll tend to find us quite easily.
Yeah. I mean, I know when I'm travelling, I like to be away from where all the tourists are. I'm not saying that tourist destinations are not interesting and monuments and landmarks, but I can't think of anything worse than just being where all the tourists are. And when I'm abroad, I like to be with the locals. I'm not particularly keen on, do you know what I mean, going where loads of British people are. I'd rather mix with the locals and blend in and experience the real kind of, so if it's Spain, for example, experience the real Spain in somewhere like Madrid, mm-hmm. and not in somewhere like on the coast somewhere where there are loads of tourists.
I mean obviously what we do has predominantly an outdoor focus, but also there are cultural elements to it as well.
Yes.
So some of the guided tours, for example, many of our hiking or ski touring tours, you'd normally expect about half the people on that tour to be Scandinavian. And so that's one thing that people often really appreciate, you know, to get to spend a week with a Swede or with a Norwegian and that kind of thing, and just learn a little bit about, quite apart from the actual activity that they're doing, but just a chance to kind of interact with local people and that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like I'm already somewhere else now as you're describing. Now, Bob, your website, please. What's your website?
Our website's Nature Travels, with an S.
Yeah.
The S is very important. Naturetravels.co.uk.
Naturetravels.co.uk. And you are Bob Carter.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks very much for joining us and popping into the studio this afternoon.
You're very
and, welcome. And, yes, certainly interesting for me because we haven't had much travel stuff on for a while. So thank you very much, Bob.
Great.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.